Hey, good morning to everybody who's online with us at Bush Lake as West Tonka, and those who are here gathered. It's good to be back with you after a little summer study break and good things that have happened in it. And quite honestly, coming back that first time, it always feels a little vulnerable, and I kind of wondered who would be here, if you'd be at the State Fair looking for a corn dog or Martha's cookies or something like that. So thanks for you who have come to taste of Jesus from his word first. Go to the State Fair later in the day. Many of you have asked me, Joel, how was your trip to Cambodia? Can I just give you a story? I always have stories, a little story update. Well, first of all, it was an almost trip. In that, I was packed, ever so wanting to board that plane, and got a cancellation notice, and a reschedule, and a cancellation notice. And it was a chaotic day because apparently the earthquakes in Russia set off a volcano that created ash, so it wasn't safe for planes to travel. And so therefore, my trip got canceled. By the time we worked through the day with the travel agent, we could not make that trip work. I would have arrived before the conference in Cambodia was done. But I am telling you, it was a day of stress trying to make all that work because I was ready to go. I visualized that trip. I was on the ground. I had four messages to deliver, and boom. I have this little axiom. Many of you know I live by axioms, simple little compass statements. And the axiom is discipline your disappointments. Because life is filled with disappointments, and we have to adapt accordingly. And yet your prayers were heard by God. And I prayed for the team that was there, just a couple guys that I was going to join, and they got my four messages. Thank you that they carried that load. And they served the Lord beautifully. So I stayed in touch with them through that whole week through prayer and ministry updates. And I do have a story to share that God is on the move in that place where 97% of people don't believe in God. And yet there's a movement of God taking place. Let me just show you an image. This was sent to me. This is underneath that blue tarp. This is one of the churches. And it's about 75 people who belong to this church. That is their church building. That wasn't just an outdoor service. That's their church building. And they've been gathering there now for a short time. And this family responded to the person presenting the message that day to the gospel. The whole family came up to receive Jesus Christ. You can't tell it from this photo, but go to the next one, and you will see that they all have a red wristband because it's predominantly a Buddhist country. And they wear a wristband from the time they're young children through adult years to keep away the demons, to protect them from demonic forces that could disrupt their lives and make their lives miserable. But when they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they cut off the wristband, no longer afraid of the demons, embracing the hope that is theirs in the blood of Jesus Christ shed on their behalf. And after they cut off the wristbands, they go and be baptized. It's the New Testament model. Believe and be baptized. And so the next picture is of 70 people being baptized. And we celebrate what God is doing in Cambodia. There is a Kaboom movement. If you're part of Westwood's history, you know Kaboom means when the Church of Jesus Christ meets felt needs, does gospel sharing, and plants churches. There's an acceleration of the advance of Jesus' name in pockets around the world. It's happening in Cambodia. There are about 14,000 villages in Cambodia. 10,000 now have a church, a small church, but something that's creating this movement forward for them. And so we as a church with our Here Near Far ministry responded to the movement of God in Cambodia, and we've made a decision to invest into another 125 church plants that will take place. That comes through your generosity, what we can do together. We give thanks for that. And a reminder, too, that at all of our sites, that we have a baptism service at 4 o'clock today. And why not be like them? If you have made a decision to say yes to Jesus, but you've delayed because we've made baptism so ceremonial, sometimes we forget that it's our identity of going under the water, coming up, be baptized this afternoon if the Lord prompts you to move in that direction. So give thanks to God for what's happening in Cambodia. Could we do that at West Tonka and Bush Lake, even online and here? Could we just say thank you, God, for what's taking place, that we get to be part of it? And receive this prayer before I begin my message. Oh, Lord. Your movement, you make your name known, you make your love known, and when people taste it and see it, it changes who we are. Thank you for what's happening in Cambodia, and thank you for what's happening here. Transform our lives, open up our minds, soften our hearts to receive all that you have for us as we open up your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm in the third message of a four-part series today called Be and Love. Let me tell you the why behind this series. First of all, this series is important because it's not just a four-part series. It takes us into the years ahead. This will serve as our framework for taking a next step to grow your faith. These four sacred movements, it's fairly simple, but it's the framework for how we move forward to grow faith. And then also, it will serve as pathways for you to understand how to engage in ministry. We'll put our ministries under these four sacred movements and invite you into, with, I pray, greater clarity of how do you take that next step. We want to come alongside of you to that end. Let's do a little review on the series so far. So Pastor Clint opened it up the first week with up, because you look up to God. It starts there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, not half-heartedly, give him your all, look up. That's the start point that we receive that invitation. And then Pastor Dale came the second week and talked about within, this idea of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It matters. A right relationship with God informs our understanding of self. We are changed people. And so he spoke about our new identity in Christ, that I am not what I have. I am not what I do. I am not what people say about me. I am not what I can control or not control, like Cambodia. It's part of life. I am the beloved son or daughter of the living God. Oh, that becomes the flow place for what I get to address today, which is in, meaning in toward one another. That is, we belong to God, but we belong to one another as well. Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So love one another. And that's how people will know that we are disciples, that through the love that we share, people will come to faith, is what he reminds us of. So how we love God, how we love one another truly matters. You see the flow place here? I like to say it begins with the headwaters. Look up to God, a right relationship with God, and that water flows into your very identity. And you change because you understand that he is changing you through the power of the Holy Spirit to be in love like Jesus. And as we move into that place of transformation, then it flows further with one another, so that we, I like the word partner up ability, the ability to partner with one another in whole and holy ways. That's part of God's flow, and it flows not just in for us, but out toward others. We'll look at that next week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So neighbor becomes part of this simple frame of reference for how we take steps to grow our faith. And that's what we want to do together. So my message today is in toward one another. So let me level set it. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, do you realize that you are born into, welcomed into, that you belong to two entities. And I'm going to speak about these two entities, the invisible church and the visible church. And both are important. The invisible church is that global family of faith through the ages that we are connected to. The visible church is that local family of faith that's expressed as we come together as his church at Westwood Community Church or St. Hubert's Church or Christ Presbyterian Church. These are local expressions of the church. And what we're learning here is so profound, because it's as the invisible is brought into the visible that we begin to grow to be in love like Jesus through fellowship that we share together, through the teaching of God's word that instructs our way, through sharing what we have in common. Like planting 125 churches in Cambodia, I could not do that alone. But my giving with you allows us to invest into that in ways that we can do together that we could never do alone. Because we're better together when we're in it together. That's the invitation here. You hear me say this many times. I've done teaching series on this through the years, probably three or four of them. We get to be the church. It's not the have to. And I think it gets cultivated with kids when they're young and they're tired and they worked all day. And I don't want to go to church today. And all of a sudden, their attitude becomes our attitude. It's not a have to. It's a get to. We're part of a mystery, a privilege to be the church of Jesus Christ. He birthed it. Mankind did not birth it. Jesus did. We get to be the church. So say those words with me. We get to be the church. I hope you said that at Minnetonka, out at West Tonka there in Bush Lake, and here again. Can we just say it again? We get to be the church. It's just such a beautiful privilege to be people who can say that with joy. Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, Life Together, does something really interesting, I think even profound, when he speaks about Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he calls out what Jesus says about us, when Jesus calls us a city on a hill. He says something beautiful, countercultural, is being introduced. And I'm wondering for some of you if it's being introduced for the first time today. And that is, Jesus is bringing the invisible into the visible. And Bonhoeffer goes on to speak about every Israelite knew that Jerusalem was the city on a hill. It's a physical place. If you've been to Jerusalem, you look up to the city. You walk up to the city. But now Jesus comes and he redefines our understanding of a city on a hill. He moves us from a place to a people. We are the people. We are the city on a hill. That's what Jesus declares. We're a city on a hill with a light shining bright, pointing people to God and with one another, deepening our bond of love with God and for each other, and then reaching out to the world. So Jesus does not individualize the kingdom of God that is on the face of the earth. When I say individualize, what do I mean by that? I mean this. In America, especially, or in Western countries especially, we have embraced a rugged individualism for almost everything in life. So even our salvation, we talk about our personal salvation, our private discipleship, and the promise of heaven to come. But Jesus doesn't teach it that way. He doesn't. We've embraced it that way. We teach it that way, but it's not what he teaches. He speaks to our communal sensibilities, that we is greater than me. He moves us from independence and individualism into interdependence and being together in that we picture. He's calling us to be one together. We belong to God and we belong to one another. So may I say this humbly but boldly? Declaratively, the invisible church finds expression in the visible communities of God's people who take part in a local congregation. Okay, I know you haven't had your corn dog or Martha's cookies yet, but would you join me and declare it with me? The invisible church finds expression in the visible communities of God's people who take part in a local congregation. So let's talk about the invisible and the visible. There's two entities. I pray you leave here with a greater clarity around God's vision for us. I want to use a passage fairly common related to the invisible church from 1 Peter. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Oh, man, I love this promise in here. And many of you know you've received letters from me throughout the years, and I always sign my letters, or most often, under the mercy, because I never want to forget that God met me with his mercy. Aren't you glad that he took you out of darkness into light, that you could know who God is? He could greet a vision and a purpose for your life with greater clarity. Are you not glad for the mercy of God? Maybe an amen in there would be really good. I set you up as best I could, and you're a lot of work sometimes, but I love you. It's so great, isn't it, that God's mercy just meets us and he changes us. I love our little phrase around here that everybody is welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything is possible. What makes anything possible? The mercy of God does. He takes you right where you are and he changes the trajectory of your life when we step into that relationship. And how beautiful it is that he does it in the way that he does it. Take a look here. He says, but you are a chosen people. It's a description of the church's relationship with God. That we are part of the human race through physical birth. But we are part of the chosen race through spiritual birth. And then he calls us a royal priesthood. We just don't naturally think of being a royal priesthood. When you woke up this morning, you go, I'm part of the royal priesthood. You didn't think of that, did you? But you are. This is part of our identity in the we of our journey in the invisible church. That is, it's describing our responsibilities for God and to point people to God as a city on the hill. So Israel had a priesthood. We get that. It was started by Aaron through the tribe of Levi. But the tribe of Levi began to serve sacrificially as priests for their own good for their own people. And they missed what the Lord says about who we are. God says in Exodus, you shall be to me the kingdom of priests, the kingdom of priests for the nations. God always intended that we not simply serve ourselves, that we belong together, but that there's an outflow of it in that kingdom reality. So the church is a priesthood, and what a priesthood it is. We serve sacrificially our God and also for the nations. Let me just read from Revelation 5, speaking of Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchase for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God. We're a city on a hill, and we're a kingdom of priests, he calls us. And then he has this interesting phrase that we are a holy nation. If you saw it in the Greek, it's actually a political term. You know, politics is such a hot potato for us right now. It always is, I think, but it's a political term. It's speaking about government and geographical regions. We are a holy nation. Here's the bottom line, or the emphasis that I think is being communicated here. He's saying that when you make your priorities, don't make your first priority engagement in partisan politics. Though, can we say this out loud? Certainly, we want to be thankful for all of you who are serving in government and politics in order to make our communities and our nation a better place. That's a good thing, but it is not our first priority. Our first priority, indeed, he says, is to engage in kingdom politics, or could I call it Christ politics, or could I call it holy politics? Does that even make sense, holy politics? I'm not sure, in our time and place, because we're citizens. So a holy nation is describing the church as the citizen of the kingdom of heaven today. And we have a passionate cause to serve him as a priority of our lives, not to divide around partisan politics. That is not our first call or our first choice. It is to unite together. We are in it together around kingdom politics, Christ politics, holy politics that comes to play in a world. Would we not be a better nation if we could start there with a level playing field of holy politics? Yeah, I just think it would be life-changing and country-changing for us. So you get the drift here. Is the invisible church that I've spoken of, new terminology to you? I'm assuming it is for many of you. I'm just reminding you, when you say yes to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord and friend and King, you are born into. You are welcomed into. You belong to the invisible church of Jesus Christ. And that's when Hebrews says, you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Don't you find encouragement in that? Wow, who are those witnesses? Well, Hebrews 11 tells us it's those who've gone before. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a people of faith. But it doesn't mean there's not others. It's people that you know that are part of it that may not even be here any longer. My mom is part of the cloud of witnesses. I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. Do they get a peek? Do they get to be cheerleaders for us in a special way? I don't know. I just believe that there's a cloud of witnesses to help us navigate the world in which we live. It's part of that invisible church, and it's beautiful. But then, how does the invisible church help us to grow to be in love like Jesus? Well, Jesus brings the invisible into the visible church. And it's through the visible church, the local gathering of people in places like Westwood and other local entities, and our fellowship together and the teaching of God's word and sharing what we have in common, that we begin to see an acceleration of our faith grow us into ways we could have never dreamed or imagined. So I say it again, but this time you're going to say it with me because you know it. You can tell I'm putting it in your head. This is the third time. Hold on to it with me. Join me. The invisible church in the visible communities of God's people who take part in a local congregation. Oh, we are part of two entities, the invisible and the visible. And in God's vision, both are really important. We want to pay attention to both of them. See, Jesus anticipates that everyone who belongs to the invisible church will take part in the local church. They go together in his vision. and that together we would grow in faith. And so when you read the New Testament, you find all kinds of metaphors about what this belonging together is all about. There's so many of them, but let me give you a few. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We are the flock of God. And you think about that. For any one of those metaphors to work, there has to be a close bond of relationship with God and one another, or it doesn't work. You are the body of Christ. One limb, my arm, doesn't make for a body. It needs to be attached to the whole to find its full purpose. Or family of God. One individual doesn't make for the family. No, we belong together through a family. Or the flock of God. One sheep does not make for a flock. It takes us together. It's the we that gets elevated over the me again and again in Scripture. And it's so important we take it. So maybe I could state it this way, that though we have come to Christ individually, we do not live in Christ solitarily. We truly need each other to grow the best we can. It's in our connectivity that we grow the best and the most, not in our solitarity. So here we come into this place. Let me ask you a question and tell me what you think about this. Is it possible to be part of the invisible church and not be part of the visible church? It is, isn't it? There are people who say, yes, I believe in God. I believe Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. I've welcomed him in my life. I love him. I follow him. But I want nothing to do with the church. It's a very common expression today. Is it possible that you could be take part in the local church and not be a member of the invisible church? Yeah. There are people who come. They don't have faith, but they come maybe because of friends or maybe because they love the ethical teaching, makes life better, gives them a compass for decision-making in life, but don't believe in God or having a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ that makes our interior self change and be transformed to be in love like Jesus. Certainly, it can happen. And I was part of that. I understand that sentiment. I'm not alone in that. Some of you are that. Maybe even right now you're in that zone. And that is to say, for me, when I was putting my faith in Christ at 18 years of age with clarity, I did not connect with a body of Christ for another 6 or 7 years. I was part of the invisible church. I believed in God. I'd welcomed Jesus Christ. I belonged to it. I was even alive in it. But I really didn't know that it was a big deal to be part of a local fellowship. Didn't make sense to me. It took an 80-year-old woman with the gift of prayer who stopped me one day, looked me in the eyes and said, Joel, God gave me a vision for your life that you're going to be a pastor of a church someday. And I'm going, what? I don't even go to church. How does that work out? It made no sense to me. And I had to call a friend. I said, this is what happened. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know what to do with visions. I'm a Lutheran guy. Where does this come from along the way? And he said to me, come to my church. I mean, in months, within a few months, I was engaging and my faith was accelerating. I learned how to serve by being in the visible Church of Christ. I learned that I had spiritual gifts. I didn't know there was a thing called spiritual gifts, that they relate to your very purpose in life. So then I got clarity about my purpose in life. It was through that local fellowship that I learned how to give. I didn't know how to give. I was a creaster at best, you know, put my 10 bucks in and feel good about it. I had no idea that everything belongs to God. Everything that I am and have is his. It's not mine. It took me a while to loosen up my hands, to begin to give sacrificially and joyfully, but then to the glory of God and for the benefit of others. Boy, my faith grew through generosity. I just invite you to take that as an invitation. It's profound what happens to you when you don't embrace it as your own. And then I learned how to love in greater fullness through you, hearing your stories, how the mercy of God met you and grew you to love Jesus. And it spurred on my faith. I've come to understand love. So when we say if we could only get the love thing right, there's no end to what we could be or do for God's glory. It's nurtured in that community of belonging together along the way. So this longing to belong, we are born into, we are welcomed into, we belong to this invisible church that mysteriously, as Jesus says, is brought together with the visible. And in that beautiful expression of the Lord, we we come to experience what I call kahila kadosha. You've heard me teach on that. I love this word. It's a Hebrew phrase. It means sacred community. You may find some Jewish synagogues called kahila kadosha. It's a beautiful term, sacred community. I've preached on this before. I'm not going to preach on it now. I'll just tell you the DNA of it is to see or to know and be known, to love and be loved, to serve and be served, to celebrate and be celebrated. It's community. It's we. It's not about me. It's about we together. It's part of God's vision for us in the journey. And it's played out in different ways. So we find that it's played out in a public place. So when we come together as a congregation in our worship at Minnetonka and Bush Lake and online, that we learn together. We have God's word. It does impact us. It does shape us, but it's still a little bit distant. But when we join a small group, the continuum of growth gets more intimate. There's more accountability. We encourage you to engage with group life at Westwood. Or you get a Christ follower friend who walks alongside of you, like John, or Jesus had John and James and Peter, who were his inner circle. Now you really have accountability. You bear your soul. All of these in this continuum grow our faith up, and we're grateful for that, and so grateful. But that longing to belong is really deep in us. In fact, I just saw it this week. I was at the grocery store at an end cap looking at shredded wheat cereal. I really want it, and I'm reading the label, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and I was startled. And I look, and here's a guy. I haven't seen him. He used to be part of our Westwood family. I haven't seen him since pre-COVID. And I was startled. He says, "Well, I saw you and followed you to the end cap." And I go, "Stop following people. It's creepy." I had no idea he was following me, and taps me and looks. But can I tell you, if you could have looked into his eyes, he saw me. He had not seen me in all these years. He's practically welling up. And he said, "I've not been to church. I've not been to any church." He's drifted. But the longing to belong, it was a long end cap moment. Because he wanted to get caught up. He wanted, and I pray he's here today. I pray that you're here today. And experiencing the love of God in local expression, because that's what he has for us. And I'm so grateful he does. Okay, I'm going to take my last few minutes. Where are you? When it comes to God's vision for the invisible church coming together through the expression of the visible church, where are you in terms of his vision and your engagement or your involvement? Can I play with this a little bit? What quadrant do you land in? Are you a yes to God's vision and a yes to involvement? Because if you are, you are the crew. The Church of Jesus Christ is the crew of Jesus Christ. Yes, I belong to God. I'm living in right relationship with him. It's changing how I see myself. And it's giving me a capacity to live in whole and holy ways with those that are around me and with me. I'm a yes. I'm on the boat. I've got my oar in. I want to be part of where God is taking us. I've got clarity on the vision. I've got clarity of my involvement. You're part of the crew. Thank God. This is God's vision. And I celebrate all of you who are there. And then if you're a yes to vision and a no to involvement, you're a passenger. And that is to say, you get the idea of that. You can see the vision, but right now you're in a place of celebrating, but you're no to engagement. You don't have your oar in. And there may be reasons for that. I'm not saying that sometimes there are reasons where you don't have that engagement or involvement. And that was my case. I just didn't know that the local church was to be something I was to put my oar in. Sometimes you have circumstances in life that keep you from having your oar in. I'm saying I pray that Westwood will always be a space that always welcomes people who would come in and they're trying to discern, what is this vision? What would it mean to be involved? That's okay. Just don't unpack your suitcase here. Don't stay there too long, because you can't grow if you don't step in to a further place. And if you're a no to vision and a no to involvement, well, then you're a stowaway. And you get the idea. You're on the boat, but you don't know exactly where you're going. You're a stowaway. You get this idea of somebody who's a stowaway, they sneak their way onto, say, a boat, and they don't want to be seen. And I think there are people who are much like this. They want to go in a direction. They're on the boat. They want their faith to grow. They just don't want to be seen. They don't want to be the city on a hill, to love and to be loved, to know and be known, to serve and be served, to celebrate and be celebrated. They're just not there right now. And many of you grew up in faith traditions that even cultivated that mindset, because there are some faith traditions and backgrounds that believe that your faith should be private and not public. But can I tell you, that's not what Jesus said. You are a city on a hill. This is his call for vision and engagement. And if you're a no to vision and a yes to involvement, I'm going to use this word, that you're a drifter. You're on the boat. You just don't have clarity, or maybe are not in agreement with the vision and where it's going, but you got an oar in, you're doing something. But what happens if you don't have clarity of the vision and you're oaring? You start to get caught in the winds, and the waves take you in different directions. And now you're not even sure where you're going. Your motivation goes down. You're not even sure you want to be involved anymore. It's so important to ask questions. What is our vision? Is it clear? What is the invitation for engagement? It truly does matter. So where are you? I know where God wants you to be. If you're a passenger, he wants you to be a crew. If you're a stowaway, at least take a move to make yourself a little more known. And if you're a drifter, ask questions and get clear. It makes a difference. I was at, our son celebrated his 40th birthday yesterday. I have a 40-year-old son. I'm just trying to take that in. It doesn't seem possible to me. He can't be 40. He's 40, and it was a lot of people. It was really fun. There was a little 7-year-old girl, not a family member, but somebody who comes to Westwood. And this little girl came up to me, and she said, "Pastor Joel, why did Jesus die on a cross?" 7-year-olds. It's a party. Can't you see this is a party? Come on. So I got down on bended knee, and you know, there's noise everywhere, and I just kept it really simple, and I just said, "Oh, because Jesus loves you so much that first and foremost, he wants you to be part of his family. And there are things that get in the way for you wanting to be part of his family, but he wants you to be part of the family." That's what I'm speaking about. He wants you to be part of his family, invisible and visible, saying yes to his vision and yes to engagement. And that's the gift he gives to us. So whom does a Christian belong? A Christian belongs to the invisible church, the global family of faith throughout time, that is brought together through the visible church, the local family of faith, of people who say yes to partake, to take part in it, so that indeed we could grow to be and love like Jesus through fellowship together, through the teaching of God's word and sharing in common what he has given to us. We want to come along as we launch into a new ministry season and invite you to take a next step. Over the course of these few weeks, we've given you an opportunity to text, and you could text the keyword "in" with that number. If you want to take out your phone, just grab it. We give you some helpful prompts over the course of the week that's ahead as we come into the last segment of this 4-part series next week. Also, when you leave today, you'll receive this card. It's a serve card, and it's an opportunity just to say, "I'd like to learn more. Would you consider the vision of Westwood and engaging in the local church, and see what God will do with your faith, but see the impact that he will have here, near, and far, because we're better together when we're in it together." So would you join me? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the gift of life revealed in Jesus that brings together this invisible church into the visible, that we are your people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Wow. These are things that are a little hard for us to get a hold of, but I believe it to be true. So may we be a church that is one together, having clarity around your vision and engagement, and would you speak to everyone here where they might be, that they'd at least have a conversation about, "Oh Lord, what are you prompting them to be and to do?" And may we do it together. To your honor and glory, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.